Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word.
I gotta confess something. Won't be able to get this out of my mind. You got to be a gentleman all the time, right? You got to be a gentleman. So, I only touch ladies in the appropriate place until I thought one of them was going to set on my guitar today, and I touched her behind, trying to keep her off my guitar. I just wanted to confess that now. Yes, it happened. There's got to be a video on Facebook by now of it. I just want to say. I don't know how to lead into this song. Oh, except I need the Lord to help me. You ready, Dave? We might as well just play it, right?
Wow. Man.
Thanks. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Let's pray together before we read the scriptures. Shall we pray? Lord, I love that song that Craig had us sing this morning. Holy words ever true, ancient words ever true, beautiful song. These are ancient words, and we're so grateful for them. Lord, our world is so thrashed about on a sea of trouble that we change our ideas and our approaches and our methods in this world, and none of them work until we come to you and follow you. You gave us your commandments, not out of trying to restrict us, but trying to help us not end up on the rocks, a shipwrecked life. So would you help us, Lord? We all gather here today with our dads, and we are so grateful for those who have come before us. And just the picture that I found this week of my Grandpa Price holding my oldest cousin. I only knew him until it's been 55 years since I've seen him, but I ache for that old man. Thank you that I'll have him again someday. He'll match me step for step. But Lord, we ask you to open the scriptures to us and help us, because all of us in this room are messed up people, and we need you to continually change our lives and bring us into line with you. You already have made us right through your blood on the cross. But our day-by-day practice and our way of attempting to manipulate our world, bend it to our will, doesn't work. And so, Lord, we ask that you would help us to set our sail differently. Thank you for your word. Bless this time together in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You know, there's nothing scarier, you guys have told me, than becoming a father. I have not had the joy of being a dad, but I sure have had the joy of watching my buddies become dads. And that look in their eye, especially for their first child, that overwhelming, I mean, of the miracle of birth, but the fact that I'm responsible for this child now. I've got a whole new life that needs me. And it's amazing, you know, what happens. I've watched so many man boys become men. You know, instead of going back to their old lives and trying to live as though like they're a semi-bachelor or something, and life is all about them, those Christian men all of a sudden come to the point where they realize, my life's about somebody else. I mean, it's just so neat to see him finally grow up. The sense of wonder, the sense of responsibility. And what's true, what Paul said about love that happens to a dad is what happened to Paul. He said, when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. It's time for the skateboard to get hung up, okay? 45-year-old skateboard guys, just doesn't get it. I'm sorry, it doesn't work. If you're 18 or 20, all right, fine, but you're on the border, all right? Time to become a man. Most men are afraid of how to be the right kind of man. How am I going to know I'm in the right place at the right time? How I know I'm going to be the man that I'm supposed to be to not mess this kid up? How do I know that I'm going to be able to do what I need to do to give my wife and children what it is they need? It's a tremendous question to ask. Well, the Lord tells us exactly how to be who we're supposed to be and how to be in the right place in the very center of his will in this very familiar portion of Scripture. You know, what I love is the way that the Lord tells us details that we couldn't have known. Like, you know, when you were little and your parents told you to do something, especially at 2 and 3 year old, oh my goodness. Why? Everything's why? Because I said so. Because I'm the daddy. Now do it. Okay? Go do it. You don't reason with them. And then somehow in teenage years it comes back. Why? You know, the same, just a little bit different attitude, right? We always want to know why. And, you know, not everybody tells them why. My dad didn't always tell me why. But when I got older, he actually started telling me why, which was interesting. I wish he'd have told me why back then. It would have been a little easier. He told me one time, oh, I hate to confess this. I think probably, you know, after all these years, I think I've confessed. This is nothing new then. I probably confessed everything. I got nothing left. I found a bullet downstairs in her house on Ruth Street. I was 12. I brought it upstairs. Dad was watching. He was ahead of his time. This is the 60s. He had 3 TVs going at once. Because there was golf. There were 2 other things, okay? One wasn't football, baseball and something else. He's watched them all. I said, hey, Dad, I found a bullet down. We lived in this old house on Ruth Street. Yeah, that's right. Thanks for remembering. And anyhow, so he said, that's not a bullet. Throw that away. Well, you know, you got to tell me why, you know? If you tell me why, I wouldn't do what I did. I went outside on the driveway, new concrete driveway, by the way, really pretty. And I put the bullet upside down in one of the, you know, those insulator divider things between the. I got it, and I went and got a shovel. And I turned it upside down, and I never said I was smart, okay? It was a spade shovel. I turned it upside down, and I'm not a very good shot, but I was that day. Boom! This thing went off, and the bullet hit me in the arm and shot up. I still have a scar here. I've been shot! You know what I mean? Somebody busted a cap on me, you know what I mean? But I busted a cap on myself. You look up dumb in the dictionary, got that picture. So if he'd have told me why, of course, come on, what am I thinking? I don't know what I was thinking. It was crazy. But sometimes we need to tell him why. Well, the Lord's good. He tells us why. He gives us information we could have not had. And, you know, he knows like the beginning from the end and all that stuff. This week, Doug and I were playing golf. I don't play golf very much, but we were out playing golf and we had caddies. And there was this one caddy named Harry. And I'm not sure how the conversation started, but I let him know that I grew up on Silver Lake Golf Course, so, you know, a couple miles in that direction. He said, I live on Silver Lake Golf Course. And he said, what street? I said, Golf Hill Drive. He said, I live on Golf Hill Drive. And I said, what house? And he starts explaining where the house is. I said, you live in the Gavellini's house? He said, I'm a Gavellini.
Highland House Restaurant.
Oh, they own Highland House Restaurant, too, so breadsticks, right? That's what came into your mind right then. We've lost them now. You know, they're thinking the breadsticks. It's over. But anyhow, it was so interesting. I said to him that I knew his grandpa when his grandpa built that house. I knew his uncle. And I knew, of course, his great-grandfather. And I told him a story from 73 years ago. I said, I got a story for you, man. My dad was 13 years old. You see, his great-grandpa's last name was Cosmo, and they started Atlas Food Stores, right? But, I mean, before that, it was just grandpa, great-grandpa, had a store. My dad was 13 years old and had left the fruit market he was working at from 11. He got a job with him, and I told him that the boys, they lived above their little store, Baldwin and Walton Boulevards. And the boys didn't like getting up. And so my dad, of course, man, he's there on time. Mr. Work ethic. He's there on time, 13 years old. He's working.
And the old man, great-grandpa, he gets the broom handle and starts beating on the ceiling. Get out here! What yet? You know, and all this stuff. And when the boys finally come staggering down, wiping, you know, sleep out of their eyes, the old man whacks them and then starts chasing them up and down the aisle, throwing cans at them with customers in the store. And Harry said, oh, man, I got to write this down. I got to write this down. You know, it's just, you know, there's information we don't know. And the Lord knew all this information about us, of why he made us, where we're going. He knows all our history. He knows it all, right? But he's so good to share information with us. And so I love how the Lord tells us. Let me get to my right page. Okay. I love that we're not just the servant of God as a Christian, but we're his friends. Remember what he said to his disciples? You're not my servant any longer. You're my friend, because I've told you what I'm going to do. Remember that? When he said that in John chapter 15, you know, a servant doesn't know what his master's business is, right? He tells us his business. It is so cool. He even tells us why we should trust and obey him. And it begins this way. I'll get onto it here now. Therefore, I urge you, he says, in view of God's mercy. The idea of urge is beseech. It means literally, I want you to bring something beside you and look at it. All right? How good has God been to you? Your whole history. I mean, he has been so good to all of us. Okay, when he's going to tell you to do something, he wants us to remember how good he's been, because he's going to ask you to make some steps in your life to make a tremendous difference in your life. How good, in view of God's mercy. I tell you what, if it wasn't for the mercy of God, none of us deserves to know him. None of us. Nowhere, no how, no way. I have given, someone said, I have given the Lord thousands of reasons to not love me, but he never gave up. I mean, it's true. In view of God's mercy, do this. So here it comes, sports fans. How can I find myself in the center of the life I'm living and be in the very exact will of God? How can I get to a point in my life where I see it? I am right where I've needed to be. How do I get to that point? I hate flying. I've told you that before. Well, I don't hate as bad of flying as I used to. The big jets don't bother me terribly bad. I hate little planes. A friend of mine was learning to fly by instrument in the old days. And back then, they would put a black cloth over your head so you could see nothing while you're flying but the instruments. And they wouldn't remove that black veil until you were 100 feet above the runway. So that when you fly in the soup, you know where you are even though you can't see it. The Lord wants us to learn how to fly on instruments instead of with our eyes. It's living by faith, not by sight. So he tells us something about ourselves. This is so interesting. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to get this. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Now, Paul lived in the midst of a culture where animal sacrifice, as ugly as all of that is, was common. It was, of course, common within the Jewish religion as an illustration of the Messiah that was coming. But all cultures have had this sacrifice thing going on. So when he said it to them, they all knew exactly what he was talking about. I want you to not kill yourself. I want you to give up yourself. I want you to live a life of sacrifice. We live in the midst of a culture that lives for itself, right? Now listen, everybody talks about doing good things. All the politicians talk about, oh, we need to take care of this group. They love giving money away, but you notice it's never their money. Did you ever notice that? And I'm not talking about what side of the aisle you're on or any of that. They all love taking our money and act like they're spending it compassionately so we'll keep them in power, because that's what it's up about. It's about the power, right? Well, and it's interesting. If you look at their tax returns, there's never hardly any. They can be worth millions. There's never real giving from them. Of course, Mr. Romney. I remember one year he gave away $12 million. There's some people that do that. But I'm going to tell you, the culture at large, I know America's the most giving and sharing. I'll tell you why. Because there's a ton of God's people here that God has blessed, and they live sacrificially. But we live in this culture that's, it's about me. So everybody asks, why do I have to give my life up? Hey, Billy Joel was wrong. Don't worry about me, because I'm all right. Right? That whole, remember the song? Go ahead with your own life. Leave me alone. It's my life, right? Is the song. Nah, it's not your life. No, it's not. Oh, this is my life. No, it's not. Are you a Christian? If you're not a Christian, it is your life. You're on your own. That's scary. I hate to face him that way. But if you know the Lord, I'm telling you, you can say, this is my life. No, it's not. What do you mean it's not my life? Well, because the scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians, you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Do you see that? Not a dead body, but a living body, giving your life away in service in this world to your family, to the people around you, to your community. Give it up. Live as a living sacrifice, because we were purchased with the precious blood of Jesus. Hey, not only did he buy us with his own blood, but if you see that first word at the beginning of chapter 12, therefore, there is this biblical principle. You always ask, what's the therefore, right? What's the therefore? Well, I'll tell you why the therefore is there. Go back to chapter 11, the last statement. Verse 36. For from him, this is a great doxology that he gives, but anyhow, this is the end of that. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. Now listen, there's something that happens to you when you realize that the therefore is to let you know that since you are from him, you are living through him, and you're going back to him, you might as well give it up, because it isn't your life. You're his. You are never going to find your answer for this, for your life, for meaning, for purpose, by doing it other than God's way. There's no other way out. I'm telling you, it doesn't work, kids. Don't do it. I mean, the thousands of people that Dr. Gall and I have talked to over the years, you know, we always think we're going to do it our way, and we will, excuse me for saying this, screw it up right on cue if we do it our own way. Your feelings are lying to you. Your own private, secret thoughts are lying to you. You got to do it God's way. And the reason we live a life of service and give up our lives, because we've been purchased by the blood of Jesus, but before that, we're his anyhow. We're from him. We're living through him. We're going to him. You get that? I'm telling you, the therefore is there for a good reason, right? It really is. Well, Romans 11:36, it tells us that whole reason why we need to just give our lives up. So, living sacrifice, because it's... I want you to see this too. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Now get this, for this is your spiritual act of worship. I know you think you'll get your church on, right? We're going to get some church on. We're going to sing. We'll get together on Sunday. We're going to woo-hoo, have a big time with Jesus. Well, that's kind of worship. You want to know what real worship is to God according to Romans? It's giving your life up for other people day by day, every day. I got a buddy of mine who's in debt up to his ears. He works 40 hours, and three nights a week,
He wears this goofy shirt that says Domino's. He's delivering pizzas. And he's dumping all of that money on his debt. You want to know why? He doesn't want his wife to have to live like that. He is working his tail off, a life of sacrifice to take care of his family. You know what God calls that? True worship. He's living a life of sacrifice. Man, you get up at, how many times can you get up at 2 in the morning, right, to take care of the baby? I know you get tired, but I want you to know it's an act of worship, that whole life of sacrifice. To me, that is just so beautiful. So, we're called to a life of sacrifice. Do you see that? Here's the second thing, or we'll be done in a moment. We're called to a life of to be a non-conformist. So, get this, verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. We're called to be nonconformists. There are two worlds. The Bible talks about two worlds. This present evil world, as the Bible refers to it, this broken, messed up place that's running out of control, running away from God, all right? And there's another world. There are also two ages they're spoken of, but they're the kingdom of God is the other world. And that other world is going to take this world over when the king of that world comes back to this world. He's going to take it over. Now, you can live, we both live with one foot in each world as a Christian. Which one are you going to conform to? A lot of pressure out there. To not conform, it's interesting. To conform is to act in accordance to the prevailing standards or attitudes. To conform is to become similar in form, nature, or character. It literally means to give the same shape. Debbie's not here today. I hate to tell you, she's busy in the kitchen. My friend Candy Thomas calls it the kinchin, so I just call it the kinchin when I say that. Just like my friend Fred Kinzer, Denver, said the chimney. He always said the chimley. So I always say, refer to stuff as that's a loving thing. I know you needed to know that. So anyhow, Debbie is up in the kitchen today getting things ready for Father's Day. Big deal today going on. And she takes this stuff and she takes it out of a box and she puts it in warm water and she mixes it up and puts fruit and stuff and other good stuff in it. And then she has this particular formed thing that she pours that warm stuff into and puts it in the fridge. And it's amazing. When she dumps that thing out later today, that thing is going to be conformed to the image of the mold, right? And that's literally what this means. Don't be forced into the world's mold. They want to force us into the world's mold. You know, it's this time of year after school's out. You see junior high, especially junior high girls walking down the street. Have you ever noticed junior high girls? They all look like they're on the same team. Because they wear the exact same clothes and the exact same colors, but oh, God forbid that I should do something different than my friends, right? We're all kind of built into this conformity thing, right? Well, the world just gets bigger and bigger with its pressure for all of us to conform to this world. And we're called to not do it, to not conform to this world. My buddy Randy Stonehill wrote a song, Stand Like Steel. Martin Luther King in Alabama faced a howling mob with just a Bible in his hand. He heard the distant thunder. He knew his days were numbered. But he believed in freedom and he never ran. Said, we're going to stand like steel. I mean, it's a great song. Man, my boy Randy. We're called. To stand like steel. We're all called to be Joshua's. Roger Campbell's article that Tim Campbell put out this week is so interesting because he identifies fathers in the Bible that were so incredible. And one he identifies was Joshua. You want to know why? Because the whole nation of Israel was going nuts. And Joshua stood up in the leader and said, okay, choose this day whom you're going to serve. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord.
It's time for God's people to stand up and serve him when it's difficult. This world will hate you. And I'm not talking about being a jerk for Jesus. You know, he's called us all to be gracious, all of us to be kind, and all of us to be truthful, and all of us to attempt to have people know the truth. So that doesn't always go well, but we're called to be we're called to a life of sacrifice. Live that way. And then don't be conformed. Stand up for him. Stand up for you. Stand up for your family. And then last of all, we're called to be transformed. He says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We hate bugs. Oh man, we hate bugs. I came home one day. Debbie said, thank goodness you're home. I said, what's wrong? I thought somebody died, okay? I thought, you know, one of our dads is in a hospital on life support. I didn't know what was going to hit. She goes, something terrible's happened this morning. I was up in the bathroom taking my shower, and there was this spider. And she's gotten very brave now, because now, even though every hair on her body stands up straight, you know, like buckwheat in, you know, our gang, right? Everything stands straight up, right? She got some plastic container and put it over this beast, you know, that dare be in her bathroom. Anyhow, I had to go up and kill it. And then when I kill it, you know, I got to then show it to me. I got to see it. She's got to see the grease spot to know it's gone. And then she says, don't put it in the basket. Flush that thing. Okay, I don't want that in my house. Okay, we hate bugs. And I can't make fun of her because I told you before, I hate palmetto bugs. That's what they call them in the South. You know what we call them in Pontiac? Roaches, okay? That's what we call them. And they're just not Pontiac roaches. They're South Carolina roaches, okay? These things are big. And, you know, they're everywhere, you know? You get sprayed all the time. You try to keep everything up. They're going to get in your house. So one night, I told you this before, I'm sure, but Debbie, I'm playing guitar in the living room. It's about 1 in the morning, and Debbie's reading in the bedroom, and I hear her go, Tommy, Tommy. I come in, and she's on the bed, standing on the bed. In the bathroom, and there's a palmetto bug, and I go in there, and there's this palmetto bug beside the toilet. It's a big one. So I get in there, I close the door, I get on my knees, and I get this big wad of toilet paper. I'm going to get this sucker, and I miss. Now get this, I'm wearing shorts, and he heads straight for my knee and goes up my pants. I'm banging off the wall, screaming like a girl, trying to crush this thing in my pants. Whew. I hate bugs. But you know, there are sometimes the ugliest bugs do something. They weave a cocoon around themselves. And those things are ugly. They weave a cocoon around themselves, and in a short time, they emerge as something beautiful. God wants us to be metamorphosized. That's the word in the Greek. We are to be metamorphosized by the renewing of our minds, it says. So the renewing of our minds takes place. How does that happen? Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be metamorphosized by the renewing of your mind. God will take his word and renew your mind, and you'll start thinking his way. Now, it's got to get in there, okay? You got to read it. You've got to study it. Listen to me. It's to your own benefit that you know what the Lord says. And I know that our devices keep us distracted 24/7. It's time to push some of that aside and make sure we're spending time in the scriptures day by day by day. You got to give the Holy Spirit something to work with, right? We can't be lazy about this. Appearing as a Christian and being transformed in our mind are two different things. We can all carry a Bible, but I'm telling you, I don't care if your grandma gave you that Bible for Christmas. Mark that thing up and write notes in it and wear that thing out for the glory of God, because the scriptures, once they get inside, the Holy Spirit uses them to transform our minds. We all learned all the junk of this world. Well, it's time to unlearn that junk. And we got to allow the Lord to be the one to fill our minds with his word. All right. We're called to live a sacrificial life, to be nonconformant, to be transformed. When he says, in view of God's mercy, he's not just talking about 11:20 or 36 that we read. He's talking about Romans 1 through 11. When you read something like that, you put your glasses on, you go back to Romans chapter 1 with a pad of paper. This is Stuart Briscoe that says to do this, and I love him for it. And start reading and write down the mercies of God that you see in Romans 1 through 11. It'll blow you away. Put the scriptures in there. God will transform us by his word. Okay, so the conclusion is this. If we simply follow what he has given us to live a sacrificial life, to be nonconformist to this world, and to allow the Holy Spirit to transform our minds while we are in the scriptures, something happens. We will be able to test and approve. That means I'll realize something. I'm here. Is it going to be perfect? No. But am I going to be in God's will? Yes. Am I going to be where he intends me to be? Yes. And this is the life you always dreamed of. You want to know why? It's listed this way in the very last statement. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Simply this, good. You want to have a healthy, beneficial life. Being in the center of God's will is good for you. You want to have a life that, it says, pleasing, it means literally enjoyable. You want to enjoy the ride? This is what you need to do. And last of all, it's perfect. And what that means is mature. What that means is it's like coming to the end. Oh, finally I get it. Finally I see it. There it is. Don't give up in your journey. Therefore, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, that it is good, it is pleasing, and it's perfect. God bless you all. Let's stand together to pray, shall we? Let's pray. Lord, there's some guys here that are overwhelmed as fathers with their responsibility. Thank you that we can winnow it down to these simple things. Thank you for making it simple and direct for us. We ask you to work in our lives and help us. And may we cooperate with you by choosing to do the sacrificial thing. Oh, that's against the grain. Choosing to do the nonconformist thing, actually being brave enough and bold enough to do the right thing. And last of all, Lord, may your word that we neglect so often be deep in our lives so that you can use it to transform our lives and keep us in your will. Thank you for our time together. Bless every dad here today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.